Good morning, everyone. Welcome to those of you who are joining us for worship this morning, whether you're in the room with us, whether you are watching us online. We're so glad that you're here. And if you are a guest with us this morning, we really do want to welcome you. We're grateful that you've joined us and honored that you have spent your time with us this morning as we worship God together. A couple of things I want to say before we get into the sermon. One is just a quick additional and hopefully last update on the saga that began 2 weeks ago. So I told you that since we had moved here that the weight trends weren't doing great for me and that I blamed chips and salsa. And so then that afternoon, DoorDash showed up from one of you with chips and salsa as a delivery. And so then I told you last Sunday that if you keep doing this, that you're going to have to send me a personal trainer as a delivery. So I just need to know, and we've got a slide for this, like, who sent me this? Who did it? Now, the people who sent the food owned up to it. I knew their names. This was just an anonymous Amazon package. And by the way, then I've got to explain to my kids who Richard Simmons is, and that's not the easiest thing in the world to do. Well played. Well played, friends. Hey, I want to invite you to join us starting next week for a new series. It's not just a sermon series. It's a whole program that we're going through. It's called Journey with Jesus. We're going to be in the Gospel of John until the end of November. And our sermons will be on those texts. Our adult and youth ministry classes will be there. We've also got some weekly devotionals that our members have written and that we're filming. We've already filmed four of them to get ready for September. And those will come out during the week leading up to Sunday. So next week, we'll give you a reading schedule. We'll let you see some of these videos that are coming out. We'll be all aligned in the Gospel of John as we take a journey with Jesus as part of our broader theme this school year called With. So I hope that you will plan to be here. And for the weeks that you're not here, please plan to stay caught up on the reading so you can be with us, listen to the sermons, and get access to the class material. We want us all to be aligned as we move through the Gospel of John together. That begins next week. So this week we're going to finish our kickoff series for this theme called With. And I want to start by giving you one of my favorite lines from one of my favorite comedians. This is Mitch Hedberg, who passed away almost 20 years ago, and he said this. He said, you know, I order the club sandwich all the time, but I'm not even a member. I don't know how I get away with it. It's the worst kind of dad joke. My kids are groaning right now that I'm even saying this to you. But he goes on in this routine to imagine a conversation where people are saying, you know, hey, I like three pieces of bread in my sandwich instead of two. I do as well. Let's form a club. It's that kind of corny humor. I'm there, folks. I wonder what you think of when you think of clubs and membership. Do you think of some really exclusive group that's hard to get into? The elites, maybe those clubs that take a long time to be on a waiting list. I know there are some of those around here. Or do you think of membership and dues and benefits? Maybe I pay this much, and for these dues, I get these kinds of benefits. I get this kind of access. Do you think of clubs and membership as sort of these inwardly focused organizations that are all about their own existence and don't really look outward and just kind of think of themselves? Last week, we talked about the importance of hospitality to guests, and we invited us all to remember to open up our eyes, to look for those who might be new, to open up our routines and make time for others, even to open up our homes and invite others in. So as we talked about guests last week, I want to follow that up and talk about membership this week. What does it mean to be a member of a church in general, and specifically, what does it mean to be a member here at the Preston Road Church? We're going to talk about all of those today, and you might be turning to Acts chapter 2. We're going to be there in just a minute, and we're going to see what happens when people follow Jesus and what they do after that. So in Acts chapter 2, we're about a month and a half after the end of the Gospels, and Peter, one of Jesus' disciples, is preaching a sermon. All these people have gathered, and Peter is going to tell them something convicting. He retells the story of God all through history, and how God has sent prophets, and how the prophets have been mistreated by people. And Jesus is the latest in that story. And Peter tells the crowd gathered there, he says, God made this Jesus, whom you crucified, Lord and Savior. And so the people, their conscience is bothered, and they say, what do we do about this? And Peter says, if you're convicted of your sin, then you need to repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of that sin. That's the background of what we're going to read today. So Peter has preached this sermon. People are convicted. He's told them what to do as a response to their conviction. And now we find ourselves in Acts chapter 2. I want to begin in verse 41. Those who accepted his, that's Peter's message, were baptized. And about 3,000 were added to their number that day. So notice a few things. The response to recognizing our sin and need for forgiveness is baptism. And then 3,000 people were added to their number. Notice that there begins to be this definable count of people who are calling themselves followers of Jesus. What did these people do immediately after making their own decision to follow Jesus? The very next verse, Acts chapter 2, beginning in verse 42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. So again, notice all the words here that have to do with defining this group, all the they's. So we have a definition and their number. See what happens here. What happens when a person follows Jesus? They start meeting together with Christians. This is the church. Those go together. They don't follow Jesus and go off and do their own thing. They begin to meet as a church. This keeps going through the book of Acts. In chapter 4, we're told that the believers were one in heart and mind. In chapter 5, the believers are meeting together in Solomon's colonnade. They're meeting together. I want you to see the pattern here, and I want you to see how the Bible talks about Christians and the church. The Bible does not imagine such a thing as a Christian at large. There's no Christian who follows Jesus by himself or herself. They do this together. They make a commitment to meeting together, to being part of a church family. Now, I want to stop for a moment and acknowledge that some of us in here may be at points in our journey where we have been hurt by past church experiences. And the reason we are not right now a member of a church is because we are taking it slow because we've been wounded or mistreated. And the Lord gets that. And I'm not talking about that kind of journey that some of us are on. We've been places before where it's just hard to think that we might be able to commit to another group of people, because what if the same thing happens here that happened there? And we want to be patient for people who are in that part of their journey. But we're not talking about that today. We're talking about a general demeanor that says, should I be part of a local body of believers, or should I just do this faith thing on my own? I was struck by the words of Lillian Daniel. She's a writer and a leader in her own church tradition. And she talks about the dread she feels often when she gets on an airplane and sits next to someone and tells them what she does for a living. She says, inevitably, I'll get a comment that says something like, oh, well, that's great. I'm spiritual, but not religious. And she talks about how they'll then go on to say something like, you know, I find God in the sunsets. And she's like, as though those of us who go to church can't also find God in the sunset. Well, we do that too. It's not an either or. And she writes these words. She said, there's nothing challenging about having deep thoughts all by oneself. What is interesting is doing this work in community, where other people might call you on stuff or, heaven forbid, disagree with you. Where life with God gets rich and provocative is when you dig deeply into a tradition that you did not invent all for yourself. And she reminds us that there's something important about submitting ourselves and being part of something bigger than ourselves. That yes, we can find God in the sunsets all by ourselves. I'm glad we do. We can also find God in the midst of the gathered body of Christians. So what I want to do is talk about four things that I think church membership does for us. Not just the benefits, not just what's in it for me, but how does it shape us and form us? I want to talk about four. You probably could think of more, but four that I thought of just right off the bat for what it means to be a church member and how it might shape us and change us. The first thing, I think church membership provides relationship. Provides relationship. Scripture tells us that we're the body of Christ and each one of us is a part of it. The scripture provides relationship. We're in a loneliness epidemic. We've talked about that. People are more disconnected than ever. What does it mean to have others around us who are in relationship with us, who are just as important as we are? That no one is more important. No one has a higher status. That church is the great equalizer in society. Now, I know practically it doesn't always work out that way. I get it that social divisions are part of church life too. We regret it, we work against it, but we know it's there. But at our best, we're a place where anyone can have a relationship with someone else, and it does not matter their background, their social status, any of that stuff. Church provides relationship. And so when we decide to become a member and give our time and energy and effort to that local group of believers, it provides relationships that might not otherwise be there. The second thing I think church membership provides is humility. Because we submit ourselves to something greater than ourselves, right? So it gives us a bit of humility to say, these people matter more than just my own preferences. So my preferences are there, theirs are there too, and we've got to find a way to work this out. And it's not all about me. And the third thing is commitment. We're in an age where it's difficult to make and keep commitments because, you know, something better might come along. And so I might change my commitments and my time. And church membership says, I'm committed to this group of people, and I'm going to give them my time and energy and effort. And I just want to say a word. I understand there's a way of doing church that it's kind of like, well, I go visit different places. I like the classes here, and I like to worship there. And then this other place has got a great midweek gathering for people like me. And so I just kind of pop in and out. And again, there's seasons for that. There's certainly seasons to be discerning like that. But you can pop in and out of these churches because other people don't. You can show up at a gathering somewhere because others have committed to being there week after week and preparing the spaces and getting the lessons ready and getting the food ready and paying the light bill. So just understand that it's kind of one of those what if everyone did that sort of thing. So we can pop in and out and not make commitments, but we can only do that because others have made commitments. So again, there are seasons to do that, there are seasons to discern, but at some point we might think about making a commitment to a place and investing our time and life there. The fourth thing that I think membership provides is just some structure. This is really practical. Churches have got to figure out who they are most responsible for. And even Scripture says to do good, especially to the household of God. So just very practically, where I was doing ministry a couple of years ago when the pandemic began, we wanted to call out our members and see how they were doing. And you may have done some similar things here. we had to have a list of who to do that for. And our call-out list of members was long enough. If we had tried to call everyone who had showed up a time or two in the last few years, it would have been exponentially larger. We didn't have time to do that. We barely had time and capacity to call all of our people, but that was important, and so we did it. Being a church member says, where are the boundaries? Where are we going to focus our attention? It's not that we don't care about people who aren't members. It's that it's hard enough. I'll just speak for myself. It's hard enough sometimes for me to feel like I'm doing a good enough job showing care and concern for fellow church members. And I don't know if I would do a very good job if I had to increase that circle exponentially. I want to. I have no theological problem with that. But practically, we have limited time and resources. So church membership provides structure for who's going to give care for us, who's going to show up when life gets hard, who knows us enough to know what we need. And one of my favorite stories that illustrates this comes from Rachel Held Evans, one of my favorite writers. And she talks about a period where she and her husband had discerned some theological differences between themselves and the church they had been a part of, and even served in some leadership roles for a while. And so they were meeting with the minister of that church and trying to work it out, and they realized they'd come to an impasse. So they walked back out to the car, and Rachel just breaks down crying. And she says these words to her husband: I know this is the right decision, but now who is going to bring us a casserole when we have our first baby? And it's kind of a humorous take on things, but I remember reading that the first time, and it just struck me. I remembered the times people had been there for me when I've had hard times, and I was thankful. I thought of those who might not have received that kind of care, and I was sad. Church membership provides structure for us to be cared for, because people see us, and we show up on the list that they look at to say, who do I need to pray for? So some of this is just very practical. We've got to get our arms around some group of people and say, these are the people to whom I have primary responsibility. And again, it's not that others don't matter. They do. But we all have limited time and resources, and church membership provides a great structure to say, these are the people I've got a heavy responsibility to care for and to show up for. Now, what I want to do at the end is talk about what does it mean to be a member at Preston Road. I'm a follower of Brené Brown's maxim that clear is kind. So we should be really clear. If we're telling people, we'd like you to join us, we want you to be a member of this congregation, we should tell them what that means. And if you're thinking about being a member here, we should tell you what it means to be a member here. And so several years ago, some leaders and members here developed our member charge. It's available on our website. We have it in printed form. We should tell you what it means. And if you've been a member here a while, it's good to be reminded of what it means to be a member at the Preston Road Church. And these are five things we ask and we charge our members to do. Number one, we want you to tell the good news. We want you to be able to talk about your relationship with Jesus, to talk about your faith in meaningful ways. If Jesus has changed your life, then others ought to know about it. The second thing that we ask you to do is join. Not just join the church in some abstract way, but to show up not just for our worship assemblies, but find other groups to join. Maybe it's one of our Bible classes that meet at 9. Maybe it's a small group or other ways you can connect. The things that Farland mentioned earlier are great options for men and women. We want you to be part of the life of this church and to join the structures we have to keep people connected in relationship. The third thing we want you to do is to practice the disciplines. We've said this whole sermon, it's not an either or of just being a Christian in community or being a Christian by ourselves. And there are times for us to practice disciplines that might even be alone. So maybe that's prayer and contemplation and scripture reading and mindfulness and all the disciplines that we read about in scripture that form us more and more into the image of Jesus. So we want our members to practice those disciplines. The fourth thing that we ask you to do as a member of the Preston Road Church is to serve. We got great opportunities to serve. It might be one of our ministries in-house that we have. Maybe it's on one of our mission trips. Maybe you commit to serving with one of our partner organizations that we work with. We want you to find a place and serve, to give not just financially, but give of your time, which is a deep sacrifice for so many of us. So we want you to serve. And the final thing, we do want you to give. It's not about what the church needs, and it's not about you trying to keep up with others you think might be able to give a lot more than you. It's about you investing in this organization. It is having some skin in the game and supporting the church that you're a part of. We think those things, and there are, I'm sure, more, but those are five key things that we ask members to do. So when you say, what does it mean to be a member of the Preston Road Church? These are the things we would talk about with you. So there might be some of you today who have been thinking a while about being a member. We want to talk more with you about that and see if this is a place that can bless you and help you in your journey to grow closer to Jesus. So I don't know where you find yourself today. It might be that you are like those in Peter's audience, and maybe your step is to actually follow Jesus. You're not a Christian yet, and maybe you want to follow the instructions that Peter gave. When his audience said, what should we do? Peter says, repent and be baptized. You know that option is always available to you. We have elders who will be in the prayer room after service. If that's a step you need to take, go and talk to them today. If you find yourself in a place where you're wondering about being a member at Preston Road, today, my colleague Farland Clark and I will be at the desk back in the lobby just to the right, and we'll be there to talk to you. We're not going to try to ask you to sign a commitment today. But if you want to talk more, and maybe the next step is we need to set up lunch or coffee, or maybe there's questions we can answer or some information we can send to you, we'd be glad to do it. If today is a day that you need to take a next step in whatever way is appropriate for you, we invite you to do that. We are here to serve you and are grateful for that opportunity. Let's be standing as we sing.